And you can be seated. Welcome to Grace River. Super glad that you're here. Merry Christmas. Man, my hope tonight is that you're able to take a next step on your spiritual journey as you meet, know, and follow Jesus. We love Christmas at Grace River because of his birthday. You and I have a birthday. That's the impact of Christmas. Because of his birthday, you and I have hope. And so tonight, we're just going to share the Christmas story. And I'm going to really talk about three things out of the Christmas story that shape us as a result of Christmas. And so I recognize this, man. People come in the room on Christmas, and there's like different things happening in all of our lives, right? Some are excited. Maybe you're going to get what you wanted for Christmas or whatever, and you already know, like you peaked, you found out, you know, somehow, right? Some of us, you come into the Christmas season with hope and excitement for the new year. Some of us have hidden burdens that nobody even knows about. Like we're carrying the weight of something that's difficult, that's challenging, and you're like, man, it doesn't feel like the ideal Christmas, right? A conversation I often have with my wife, Sarah, is we'll be driving along looking at Christmas lights or something, and she'll say, you know what? And this happens almost every year. She'll say, it doesn't feel like Christmas. I'm like, what do you need to happen? Snow? Is that what you need? Like, I'm good. Like, what do you need? Like, what do you need? Well, she said, well, like when our kids were little, it felt like Christmas. Or when I was little, it felt like Christmas. Doesn't feel like Christmas. Here's the thing. And my hope tonight is that Christmas moves you and that it's more than just an emotion that you feel. But it's something that you like understand in your heart. A reality behind Christmas is it literally has the ability to change everything about your life. Like the birth of our Savior over 2,000 years ago, the reason why people all over the world are gathering tonight and tomorrow night to celebrate the birth of this Savior, it's because his birth changed everything. You think about it, our entire calendar system is around his birthday. Like this is a big deal. And so as we look at his birth tonight and the implications of his birth, my hope is that this is more than just something that you check off your list of things that I did during this Christmas season that made it feel like Christmas, but instead that you would go, wait a second, like this applies to me. And I want you to know the Christmas story, it is about you. Like this has you all over it. I want you to know that. And so Luke chapter 2 is where we're going to be tonight. You can follow along in your Bible or on a Bible app. You can also follow along just on the screen behind me. But man, I want you to know, man, it matters that you're here. I'm glad that you're here. And I think God's going to do something in the next 20 minutes in your life. So Luke chapter 2, we'll start in verse 8. It says this, that night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Now, to be a shepherd is not like something that you're going to a job fair for in high school. And you're like, you know what I think I'm going to be? I'm going to like watch animals at nighttime. You know, like that's not something that you're like signing up for, okay? Like this is not something that people are excited about doing. It's not like one of those career, you think about every like little boy's dream is to be like a fireman or an astronaut or a policeman or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Like no little boy is going, you know what I want to be when I grow up? I want to talk to animals at nighttime. Like nobody wants that, okay? But that's what these shepherds are doing, that they're guarding their flocks of sheep at night. And I just love it, by the way, that the birth announcement of our Savior, the people that get to hear it first are a bunch of shepherds. Like on the socioeconomic scale, this is the lowest class of people. These people were not allowed to vote. They weren't allowed even into temple worship. Like, so to be in this scenario is pretty remarkable to think about. And I think it's very fitting because some of you feel like you don't belong here right now. Like just so you know, and I want you to know, you totally do. So you may have that feeling of like, man, I'm disqualified or I don't matter or I've done too much. We always say this around here at Grace River. It doesn't matter who you are, where you've been or what you've done. You matter to God and you matter to us. And so I love the fact that it's shepherds that get to hear the birth announcement. You think about birth announcements today, they're way different than they were 2,000 years ago. I mean, somebody gets pregnant today and they have this big birth announcements on social media. They got confetti cannons blowing up or whatever, or there's a balloon or there's a cake or whatever it may be. And that's how we announce the gender reveal or we announce that we're having a baby or whatever. I asked my wife in between services, what did we do? And she said, I don't know. I forgot. I'm like, yeah, me too. I forgot too. So I don't know. Early onset dementia maybe. All that to say, yeah, I'm glad you're laughing. That's good. We laugh here even when the jokes are bad. It just makes the service time shorter. If you just sit it out with me and don't laugh, I just go long until I make you laugh. And so that's what we're going to do tonight. No, but I love the birth announcement of Jesus because there's not confetti cannons. There's something even bigger than that. There's angels that show up. In fact, in verse 8, that night, verse 9, suddenly, I love that because it's not gradual. Luke helps us to understand something in Luke's gospel. He says, suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them. Now, that would have been terrifying, just so you know, because it's not like some gradual thing, like an angel comes in a distance or something. Oh, there's an angel coming. No, it's just like, boom, there's an angel. You know what I'm saying? Like, what? You know? And so we find out that they were, an angel appeared, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them, and they were terrified. Okay, so they would have needed probably a change of clothes in this moment, right? So it's that scary. But the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. And I'm like, okay, yeah, don't be afraid. I'd be terrified too. Look at what he says next. And this is what I want to talk to you about tonight. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. And that happens to be, friends, the message of Christmas. It's good news of great joy to all people. Let's talk about all three of these things. First of all, the message of Christmas is good news. Now, it's not advice. Advice is like, hey, you should do better, you should try harder, you should get your act together. You ever have somebody tell you that? I've had that happen to me. A friend leans in and says, hey, you know, you got some real potential. And it's fine to hear that in your teen years or maybe even your early 20s, but whenever you're like in your mid-30s or mid-40s or 50s and people are like, hey, you got real potential, that's an insult, just so you know, all right? But the reality is, though, you got potential. But all that really is advice. And the good news of the gospel is not something that's advice. In fact, the good news is really, it's this, it's achieved. It's not achieved, it's believed and received. Now, you think about news, when you hear news, you know, however it is that you get news, whether it's through social media or you watch TV and you receive news, you don't achieve it. Here's what I mean. You watch the news and you go, you're kind of faced with a choice. Am I going to believe this or not? You know, like, or is it like, is it fake news, real news? Like, what is this that I just heard? What information did I just consume? And am I going to do something with it? Now, unless you started the fire downtown, you didn't achieve that news, right? Like, you're not an arsonist, okay? And so because of that, you hear about a fire downtown on the news or you see it on social media and you're like, wow, that's crazy. That building caught on fire. You didn't set the fire, okay? So you didn't achieve the news. You're either believing and receiving it or you're not. And here's the thing about the gospel. I think a lot of people have confused this relationship with God and religion. And I want you to know what we're here to talk about tonight isn't religion. And I know that really messes some of you up because you're like, wait a second, I'm at church and you're a pastor. I feel like your job is to talk about religion. In fact, we are the most anti-religious church you'll ever be a part of because we don't believe in religion at Grace River. We believe in relationship. We believe in this concept of grace. And that's the good news of the gospel is you can't achieve this on your own. In your own lifetime, you will never be able to do enough good works to outwork all your bad stuff. That's an exhausting life, by the way. Like, some of you are living that. Like, you're living this concept, this idea that as long as my good can outweigh my bad in life, then I'll be good whenever I meet God in heaven. And I want you to know that's not at all what Christmas teaches us. Christmas teaches us this, is that although I couldn't work my way to God, God worked his way to me. And that's why Bethlehem is such a big deal. That's why Christmas matters. In fact, the Apostle Paul, who would have considered himself a very religious person, that he would have kind of had his act together, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, Paul helps explain something to us that it's not about religion. It's not about your works. It's not about your achievements. It's about what God did through his grace. Look at this. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says this, God saved you by his grace when you believe. Now, you'll notice what it doesn't say is God saved you because you were a good person. God saved you because you did some good works. God saved you because you were baptized. God saved you because you volunteered. God saved you because you gave some money to something. God saved you because you walked enough old ladies across the street. That's not why God saves us. Why does God save us? It's right here. God saves us by his grace when we believed. And ultimately, you can't take credit for it. It's a gift from God. Isn't that awesome? That we can't take credit for heaven? That we can't take credit for our salvation? This is pretty cool. You know this? You're going to meet people in heaven that you went to like middle school and high school and college with, and you're going to be like, girl, you're here? You'll be like, dude, homeboy, you're here? How did you're in, And what you're not going to hear from those people is, yeah, man, second half of my life, I got my stuff together, you know? You know what I'm saying? Like, I started wearing better clothes and acting better. I behaved myself. Oh, I didn't drink so much, didn't do some, you know, like I was, no, you're not going to hear that. What you are going to hear from people is, yeah, you know what? I found out that it wasn't about my achievements. I found out that it was about this Savior that was born, and he would live a perfect life, and he would die on a cross for my sins. He'd resurrect 3 days later, and now I live and have a second chance at life. That's what you're going to hear from people. That's the good news. The good news is not something that you achieve. It's something that's been done for you. And Paul would later go on to say, it's a gift from God. Now, how many kids are excited about your gifts that you're going to unwrap tomorrow, a couple days from now? Yeah, so yeah, you're pumped. I see you. Okay, right, you're excited. Great, great, great. Hopefully, you're on the nice list, right? We're hoping for that. That's good. Now, there isn't I remember being a kid, and one of my vivid memories of being a kid is I would oftentimes pick up the gifts under the trees, and under the tree, we had one tree, not trees, but I'd pick up my gifts under the tree, and I would sometimes like feel them, like I would, like the squishy ones, you know, they were just like a sweater that your mom bought you, that you're just like, ah, this is annoying, right? So like maybe a pair of gloves or a scarf or something, like, okay, I get it, like you wanted to clothe me, and so like you got me these gifts and just wanted to make it look like you had more under the tree, whatever. You're great parents, that's good. Some of you are still doing that. I want you to know your kids, they know the difference between a squishy box and a box that like has something significant in it, right? But there's not a kid in the world that on Christmas morning look at their parents and say, hey, have I been good enough to open this gift? Have I been obedient enough? Have I done enough good things? Have I done enough good works? Have I been a good enough son or daughter to deserve this gift? No kid is asking that question on Christmas morning. They're just like, hey, whether I've been rotten or whatever, I'm still opening this gift, you know? And here's the reality. For those of us that are adults in the room or teenagers or whatever comprehension of understanding of our own sin, here's the reality, man. Like, your salvation is a gift from God. Gifts are not earned. Gifts are received. That's it. It's not, you don't deserve a Christmas present. You don't deserve a birthday present, but you get one. Why? Because it's a gift. Gifts are freely given. So this concept of salvation, this Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 passage, the reason why it's good news that will bring great joy for all people, the reason why it's so significant is you don't have to earn it. It's not about you getting your act together. It's not about your good works and your achievements. Instead, it's about this Savior that was born for you. And friend, that's why it's such remarkably good news. It's the greatest news that you'll ever receive in your entire lifetime. Now, the question is, what will you do with it? Wouldn't it be absurd to know that you've received a gift and to leave it under the tree for a lifetime and go, man, look at that. What a great gift. And you never unwrap it. You never receive it. You never use it for yourself. Like, that would be totally crazy. And so tonight, I want to give you the chance to receive this good news. But we're going to keep moving. The message of Christmas is not only good news, it also is great joy. I love this, that it's not just good news, it's also great joy. Look at this in Luke chapter 2, verse 10. It says this, I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. Now, what's interesting with the shepherds is they still would have been experiencing some oppression. Like, after visiting Jesus, you recognize this, they're still poor. Like, they don't have high-paying jobs. After they visit this baby Jesus in this manger, they're still under Roman oppression. Like, their government system is still not right. Whatever problems they were carrying with them relationally, they're still carrying those same problems. But yet, they had joy, and they were carrying joy with them. What I love about this joy factor is this. It's beyond happiness. Happiness is temporary. It's here just for a moment, and then it's gone. Happiness is the Hallmark movie that you're hoping to have on your Christmas day. But what I want for you, what God wants for you, is that you would receive this great news and that you would experience this great joy as a result of it. That this good news of salvation would mean, man, I can carry. What's amazing about the shepherds is they carried that joy back with them to their fields, to their night job, to their undesirable locations they were living in, to the things that were like imperfect and broken in their lives, those things were still broken. And I want you to know tonight, you coming and receiving and hearing this message, it may not change your circumstance, but it can change your story. And that's the amazing thing about Christmas, is that Christmas has the ability to change your perspective on your entire life. And we're going to find out later what the shepherds did with this information after they left baby Jesus. So it's great news. It brings great joy. And notice this, the last thing is, it's for all people. I love this because the word all is a small word with a really big impact. All means all. You know what all means? All means you. All means the shepherds. So you may think, man, I'm the religious person that has my act together. You know what? You also fit in the all category, okay? But if you're the religious person in the room, you still know this. There's still something missing in your life. So all means you. For the person that has wandered off and you don't even know your way back to God, all means you. To the person that feels completely disqualified and completely unworthy of God's love, all means you. Great joy. For all people, the message of Christmas is designed specifically for you. This isn't just for the shepherds. This isn't just for religious people. This is for people of all kinds. Everyone in the room, everyone in the world needs a relationship with Jesus. All means all. And so I just wonder tonight, do you fit into that category? And what have you done with this gift of grace? I love our church, and it's full of people from all different walks of life. That's what I love about Grace River. Maybe you go to some churches and everybody acts like they have it together. What I love about our church is we're a church full of grace, recognizing that none of us are perfect. I met a guy a few years ago, his name's Oscar, and I met he and his wife Iva, and it's been really cool to watch their journey. Oscar was actually invited to church by his mother-in-law, and that's kind of a fun story, but the mother-in-law would drag them to church on Christmas, Easter, and other occasions. They were what we call CEO Christians, Christmas, Easter, other. I'm kind of caffeinated, so I'm a little. but they would just come occasionally, you know, and it was at one of these services that they came to that they got to actually hear the story of grace. And the story that it's not about achievement. And it's been amazing to see the perspective and the life change in Oscar and Iva since. I want you to hear their story.
You are meant to be saved and to be woken up to Jesus' love at the right time. And we'll have our own path. Mine took 15 plus years. But I'm glad I'm here now. Grew up in Chile, outside of the main city. Didn't see much luxury where we lived when we were little. But my mom kept it a big focus to talk to us on her point of view, I guess, on Jesus and how she saw it. I guess rituals, if you want to call it, or traditions of the Catholic Church, as far as the rosary and certain prayers being a certain way. And I remember one time I asked her about Jesus and talking to him through prayer, and she mentioned, you can just talk to him. You know, you don't need the prayer, just talk to him. I remember we had a church behind the house, and I would go there at night sometimes and just sit there and talk to Jesus. People would say the churches are scary at night. I used to find peace sitting there. I believe that God was, more than anything, a friend. A friend that expected me to do the right thing. That if I didn't do the right thing, I wasn't gonna be pleasing God. That was always in my head, kind of like I have to earn my way into heaven. You know, like for me to be with Jesus and to be with you, I have to be a perfect human. That was, yeah, heavy, a lot of pressure for sure. At 13 years old, my dad passes unexpectedly. He took a nap and never woke up. And that to me was a big crash emotionally, was a big crash in my spirituality also. I took it personal with God because it was just kind of like, why me? You know, I try hard to be a follower of you and your teachings, and then you take my dad. Like, not fair. So by me feeling at 13 years old that that was not fair, I started convincing myself, or trying to convince myself, that, God, you're not real. My reality changed completely. You know, he died close to a year after that. We left the country. So I left family, I left friends, I left everything. And once I got here, through that search and not knowing anybody, and got into drugs, got into experiencing, wanting to do psychedelics for the experience of, it will make me feel something else, something extra. What am I looking for, this extra feeling? And it wasn't working. He wasn't feeling the emptiness or the space that I lost inside when my dad passed, and just lost. I was lost. It was hard, but through all of that and all my search, even after high school that I graduated and got a job and had different things, he kept showing up. I don't know why. The first time I heard of Grace, it was at Grace River. It was a sermon that Chris did, and we're coming home in the car, and my son asked my wife, I can't recall the exact words, but they were within the line of, no matter how bad you sin, he will accept you. It was something within those lines, and it clicked. It's something clicked. Like, you've done all this bad, you always wanted to be accepted by your actions, and no matter how far away I am at this point, I can start reaching back out. It's almost like the green light that I needed to start talking to him again. Through an amazing wife that always fought for me to hear the word of God, I was able to see that was the reason he died on the cross for us, to eliminate that struggle of us having to earn our way to heaven. If I had to put what Jesus means to me in a sentence, I will even summarize it even more to just one word, and I would just say love. Unconditional love is what I would say it means to me.
God just kept showing up. I love that part of his story, and maybe that's your story. That's the amazing thing about God's unconditional love and his unconditional grace, is that he just keeps showing up. It's almost like God is just always product placing himself in your life. Every sunrise, every sunset, nights like tonight, you're just like, what's going on? Like, somebody drugged me here, and now I'm like reflecting on my own life, thinking about where I'm at spiritually. The point of Christmas really is that. I started this by saying, this is about you. And yes, you're here tonight. Maybe it makes somebody happy that you're sitting next to, but the reality is, for just a moment, would you just consider you? What have you done with Jesus? What have you done with this gift of grace that's been offered freely to you? Have you received it? Have you denied it? Have you questioned it and doubted it? Tonight, I want to give you the opportunity to receive it. Here's the beauty of receiving it. Tonight, you can walk out of here knowing that you know Jesus, knowing that you have purpose, knowing it doesn't eliminate your problems, but knowing that you have peace and hope and salvation, not in your own works, not in your own abilities and your own achievements, but because of what Christ did for you. You can walk out of here knowing that. Listen to me, friend. Eternity is too big of a deal to hinge itself on a maybe. Like, maybe I've taken care of this, maybe I've received it. No, let's not do maybes. We can know for certain tonight. We can walk out of here tonight with confidence, knowing that I've done something with the reality of Christmas. And the message of Christmas isn't just for good people that have their acts all tidied up and together, but it's for all people just like you. that you can walk out of here with the same joy the shepherds experienced, the same hope of the good news that they received is available to you right now. So I wonder tonight, as a next step, are you ready to receive this unconditional love that Oscar talked about? When he said, describe Jesus, he says, man, love, unconditional love. Love without limits, love without limitations, love without your good behavior and your achievements. Do you realize this, that God loved you even when you didn't care about him? Friends, that's love. You see, it's easy for me to love somebody that loves me, that thinks like me, acts like me, likes the same food I like, cheers on the same sports teams that I cheer on. It's easy for me to love people like that, agrees that Christmas is a diehard movie. Like, I get it, man. Like, it's easy for me to love people like that. But what if, can you love someone that's your enemy? Can you love someone that doesn't care about you? Do you realize that's what unconditional love is? And that's the kind of love that God extends to you at Christmas. That although you wanted nothing to do with him, he wanted everything to do with you. That's love. And so I wonder tonight, like, would you receive that love? Like, would you say, man, this is for me? All your life, you've been looking for something, for joy, for hope, for meaning, for purpose. And I want you to know, Christmas delivers for you. So are you ready to receive that tonight? If you are, would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? Let's just all do that for a moment. If you've received his love, would you pray for others around you to receive it tonight? But tonight, if you've never received this gift of salvation, with heads bowed and eyes closed, it's as simple as this. I'm going to pray a prayer in a moment. And in that prayer, we're going to admit that we've done wrong. We're going to admit that we're sinners, that we're broken, that we have guilt, shame, and remorse as a result of our brokenness. But we also, in a moment, we're going to also pray a prayer of belief, believing that it was Jesus who came to die on the cross for our sins, that it was his perfect life in exchange for all of our brokenness, that this gift of salvation is available for me, and we're saying that we're believing that tonight. And then we're going to confess Jesus as our Savior, but also as our Lord, the one who not only came to set us free, but the one that would lead us through life, that I would look to him for answers, that I would look to him on how I should live my life. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around, if you're ready to pray that prayer with me right now, will you just slip your hand up in the air? Chris, I'm going to pray that prayer with you. Anybody like that? I see your hand and your hand and your hand and your hand and your hand. I'm ready to pray that. Your hand, amazing. Your hand, I see it. Let's pray together. God, we admit tonight that we're broken, that we need you. God, we believe that it was your perfect son that was born in Bethlehem that would die later on a hill, that would borrow a tomb for 3 days and rise again. God, we believe that your son did all of that so that we could one day be declared innocent in your sight, because your son took on all of that for us. God, we confess with our hearts and with our lives you to be our Lord and our Savior. Our Lord, the one that we would look to for direction and guidance, and our Savior, the one that would pay the penalty for our sins. God, I thank you for Christmas and for giving me good news that would be great joy for all people. It's in Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. Hey, can we congratulate those people that just said yes to Jesus? Way to go. That's awesome. In the seat in front of you is a connection card. If you just said yes to Jesus, we would love for you to fill that out and drop that in the offering plate or offering box. We don't do plates. We have an offering box in the back of each door. If you could drop those in the offering box on your way out, we just want to be able to celebrate with you and help you take tangible next steps on your spiritual journey. Now, I said there was another next step. The next step that not only is that we would receive God's unconditional love, but for those of us that are following Jesus, that we would take the light of Jesus with us. It's amazing because the shepherds did this. They heard from the angel, I love this. I just picture it in my mind. They're going to go to Bethlehem. They're going to leave their field. Remember, they're going to take their sheep with them, and they're going to go to Bethlehem, and they're going to hear the news. They're going to find out the news about this baby is a reality. And then we see that they see Mary and Joseph and the baby, just like the account said. And then in verse 17, they go and do something different with their lives afterwards. After seeing him, here's what Luke 2:17 says. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened, what the angel had said to them about this child. Now, what's amazing is, you notice this, they went and told everyone about this Savior that was born in Bethlehem. And I wonder tonight if we would be the kinds of followers of Jesus that would tell everyone, everywhere that we go, about this light that we found in Jesus. In fact, we're going to sing Holy Night in a second. And I think this is really a powerful moment for us, because we get a chance to be light shiners. Like, we get a chance to take the light that's impacted us and go and impact other people as a result. That's why this is so significant. And what's amazing is, from generation to generation, this light gets passed on from one person to the next person to the next person. And that's what's so amazing about lighting candles at Christmas time. Because it's a symbol and it's a marker that this holy night meant something. This holy night changed something. That all of the sudden, because this angel went to visit these shepherds in Bethlehem, proclaiming this, I've got good news that will bring great joy to all people. So as we sing together tonight, as we celebrate what it is that God has done, man, my hope for all of us is that we would recognize that this light that shines in us should shine in others. That we have the chance and we have the opportunity to pass this light from one generation to the next. So dads in the room, you get a chance. Moms and dads, you get a chance to pass this down to the next generation. Grandmothers, grandfathers, aunts, uncles, friends, neighbors, coworkers, we take this light of Jesus and we step into somebody else's life and we say, man, let me tell you about this good news that's great joy for all people. Let's stand together and let's sing O Holy Night.